seeking the Lord's help and your divine attention, we'll direct you to the prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1, and the 7th verse. The prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1, and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The prophecy of Nahum and chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The dear prophet Nahum prophesied at the time and lived at the time of Hezekiah and Isaiah, and he was to be used of God as God's messenger, as we read in the lesson this evening. And the things were not easy in his day. There were many enemies that were seeking to overthrow the Lord's people and his church. We may say it is in some measure the same today, isn't it? But the Lord was to wonderfully use him, and in our text we find one thing is stands out really, that he could truly say the Lord is good. And how could he say that? Because he'd sweetly experienced it. And one felt when this word dropped in last evening, do we know anything of that, personally, each of us? I wonder this evening how many could truly, from the depths of their hearts, say, the Lord is good. There was no doubt in the heart of Nahum about this matter. He could look and see how good the Lord was in the provisions of providence, supplying his need and the need of the Lord's people. He could look in his own soul and see how good the Lord was in not cutting him off as a cumber of the ground because of his sin and unbelief. We think of that beautiful word of the psalmist, and it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And he could see how good the Lord was in having mercy upon him and blotting out all his sin and unbelief. And he could see how good the Lord was to his people in delivering them from their enemies. So he says here, the Lord is good. And, you know, when we are really brought to say that from the depths of our heart, it's a very humbling thing to say. And we think of the goodness of the Lord to dear David. He could truly say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the Lord promised Moses, didn't he, in Exodus 33, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And it may be in things that you're walking in to die, you can say in it all, the Lord is good. And that is a beautiful saying, really. But let me come low. Do we desire to be able to say it? It's not the desire of the world, is it? They think what man does by nature, what he thinks and what he does is good. But you know, all that we do is contaminated by sin. Oh, it is. You can have the most good things, but you see, sin is mixed with all we do, with all we think or say. But the dear prophet could look at the things the Lord had done, and he could say, the Lord is good. There's no flaw in what he does. There's no mistake in what he does. We sing in the hymn, don't we? What he does is ever best. And that's sweet when we can truly feel that and say it. So he says here, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, let us look firstly at the day of trouble. What Nahum was indicating here was, under the Holy Spirit, and Isaiah took it up in his prophecy, the solemn case of the Assyrians coming against Hezekiah and against Israel and against Jerusalem. And then there was all the threats from Rabshakeh. And it was a day of trouble. They were out to destroy God's work and God's dear people. It was a day of trouble. And there are times, you know, with the Church of God, right the way through God's holy word, where there were the days of trouble. In the day of trouble. And there may be those this evening, why the Lord has given me this word. It's a day of trouble. And that trouble is all known to the Lord. It was with Hezekiah. It was not only the Assyrians coming against him, and against Jerusalem, out to destroy them. And Sennacherib, with all his army and power, thought he could, in a moment, destroy them all. But to Hezekiah and the Lord's dear children, it was a day of trouble. But it was all in the Lord's hand. You know, no trouble comes by chance. We read, don't we, that beautiful word, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." The Lord said, "And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And so often the Lord brings us into a day of trouble to cause us to cry unto him, to go to him. And here we have this beautiful word set forth. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. A place of fortification, a place of, the margin tells us here, of strength. Where they could go. And you think of Hezekiah. It wasn't just the Assyrians coming against him. He had trouble in his body with affliction. It was a day of trouble. And then his trouble too was in his own soul. He was troubled because of his sin. And then he was in trouble because the Lord had said to him, "Thou shalt die and not live." That's what you call real trouble. What does the hymn writer say? "Did ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou should overcome at last?" And you see, as Nahum looks on this scene with the king and Hezekiah and all this trouble, he says, "The Lord is good." All the trouble was in the Lord's hand. He could in a moment deliver Hezekiah, which we have in the book of Kings, and too recorded in Isaiah how the Lord did deliver him from all that trouble. And the Lord did it all. But you see, where was he to go in that trouble? Well, the world have nowhere to go, and the ungodly, haven't they? They brood and think upon all the trouble, and it gets worse and worse. Nowhere to go. But so different with the child of God. That doesn't mean to say they don't brood over it and they don't feel it and they don't weep over it all. But they've got a place they can go. And here, the dear prophet, he says, "The Lord is good." They've got a good stronghold to go to. And that blessed stronghold is the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And you know, really, when you look in these minor prophets, such as Nahum and Zechariah and others, you'll find there's a beautiful views they had of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, in that time of trouble. He is their stronghold, where they could go, where they could hide, where they could shelter, where they could cast all their burdens and cares in that trouble. So it may be tonight there are those that are in soul trouble. And the old preachers used to say there's no trouble like soul trouble. It can bring the sinner ever so low, you know. Especially when we are brought face to face with the solemn issues of eternity. And how is it with your soul and with mine tonight? The hymn writer said, "Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood?" As we said earlier, friend, yesterday, you see, how soon everything can change and how soon we can be in eternity. And may we lay it to heart tonight, you see. And I thought when we were up in the graveyard earlier this week, I thought, you know, how many had been taken and buried up there since I came as pastor. It's 40. And you know, it brings home to us, doesn't it? The solemn realisation that death is now upon the road. The hymn writer said, "How stands the case, my soul with thee? Our heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there?" But what a mercy if we are couched, resting in our text. Because if we know the realities that are couched in it, it'll be well with us while life endures. And it'll be well when we're called to die. The Lord is good. And when you can see, even in your troubles, how good the Lord is to you, hearing your prayers, sending answers of peace, granting sweet encouragements to venture on, helps by the way, tokens of his love. And what is so wonderful in this stronghold, the dear servant of God, Nahum, was able to view how good it was because nothing could penetrate it. Nothing could remove it. Nothing could destroy it. It didn't matter how many threats there were from Satan, or from his agents, the stronghold stood firm. It's like really, when you look at the great flood when it came, it was a great day of trouble to Noah and those favoured few. But you see, and to many that the Lord took home prior to the flood. But when that flood came, you know, Noah, when God put him in that ark and those favoured few, it was a stronghold that not even the great flood could destroy. It's wonderful, you know, really. There they were, as safe as ever they could be. In that stronghold. Nothing could penetrate it. Nothing could destroy it. Even the great flood that came. What do we read in the hymn? To make the preservation sure, Jehovah shut him in. And there was no safety. He needed no bar, no bolt. Jehovah shut him in. Safe, you see. And you think of here Hezekiah in all the trouble he was in, as I've indicated, of soul, of body, and of circumstance, and the enemies that prevailed in against him. He was safe because he was in this blessed stronghold in the arms of the dear Redeemer. Nothing could destroy him. And you know, this is a vital point as we come this evening, and I hope it is continually a vital point with us, that we may be firm upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. And you know, the more we are taught our helplessness, our inability to do anything in and of ourselves, taught it by the Holy Spirit, we shall have to flee to this stronghold, this refuge, this place where we can hide. The hymn writer said, didn't he, hide me, O my Saviour, hide. The Lord then is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Just to tarry a moment on this, you know, the Lord knows what sort of trouble you have. Oh, he does. Whether it's inward or outward, in the family or in your circumstances, or the troubles of Zion, he knows, And he brings his dear people often into trouble to make them rightly exercise, rightly concerned. And not only that, it's been with me much of late. You know, the Lord brings us so often into trouble to make us lean harder and harder upon him. And the harder and harder the child of God leans upon him, the more they approve how good he is to them. And the more they approve his faithfulness, his love. Oh yes. But not only that. You know, when you look back at some of our godly forefathers, how firm they were in the truth. And the reason was, well, one reason was because they had many troubles to go through, and in those troubles the Lord rooted them and grounded them in Christ. So when the storms came, the tempest rose, nothing could move them. You think of the Apostle Paul, all what he had to go through. Shipwrecked, cast into prison, beaten sore. But what does he say about going up to Rome when he left the church at Ephesus? He knew that afflictions and dangers were to beset him. But what does he say? It's a wonderful word, you know. But none of these things move me. When it came to where he rested and resting wholly upon a precious Christ, none of those things moved him. They may batter him and toss him around, but they couldn't move him in the vital things of God. And you know, this is what the Lord will do when he sanctifies the trouble to you. It's not just trouble. It comes as a tribulation, you see. And you think of Psalm 107, how many times they had to go down in their trouble. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then they didn't go far before they went down again, didn't they? And it was all to fix them firm upon the rock, you see. And they could truly say, in it all, and on each occasion they could bless and praise the Lord for hearing, answering prayer and delivering them. Then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and their souls could praise his blessed name, couldn't they? So he says here, the Lord is good. Notice the certainty of this. You know, I often press that point. The things of God are positive, you see. There's no ifs and buts and hows about Nahum in this. He could truly say, the Lord is good. And how could he say it? Because he'd experienced it. He'd witnessed it. He'd known it. And he could truly say, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. But then he says this. He knoweth them that trust in him. And you think of that tonight. The Lord knows every one of his dear children that truly trust in him. And I would look at it just in a few ways briefly. If I know anything about it spiritually in one's own heart, this is one of the lessons we have to learn. You bring the sinner, so the only place they can trust is in him. They may have tried to trust in self, then it came to nothing. They may have tried to trust in man, or in their friends or loved ones, and it's come to nothing. You see, the Lord will have all the sinner's heart, and he have them trust in him at all times. We read, don't we, so many occasions in the Psalms, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Not sometimes. You know, it's often been a lesson to me. You know, we're often fearing, aren't we? We're doubting. But he says, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Not sometimes, all times. And then the solemn warnings, you know, in the Psalms, where he speaks, particularly in those beautiful Psalms where he gives the solemn warning of those that trust on any other foundation. And we find this in Psalm 115. He says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then this, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then, of course, he warns us of trusting in anything else. Trusting in self or something base. And then in Psalm 118 he says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Why? Because they all fail. But those that trust in the Lord, he will never fail them. Oh no. You know, that was the difference when David went up to fight Goliath. The difference between Goliath and David. David was only a stripling, a youth. Giant, Goliath, a great giant, a master in war, and had all the weapons of warfare with him. And that's where Goliath trusted, in his own ability, in his spear and shield and all his armour. That's where his trust was. You can well understand the hymn writer saying, oh, beware of trust ill grounded. And he went up to that battle and not only did trust in those things, but trusting in an army of Philistines behind him. And how did David go up? And when you think of your future pathway and all that may be before you and before me, where are we trusting? David went up with just those few stones in his sling. But they didn't trust in them. He trusted in the God of heaven that had delivered him from the bear and from the lion when he cared for his father's sheep. And who was it that delivered him from that bear and that lion? David's God. And David's trust as he went up to fight Goliath was in his God. Oh, it was. And the Lord never failed him, did he? He won't fail them that trust in him. Oh, no. There's some beautiful promises which you can look up at your leisure to them that trust in him and how he will never fail them. And he didn't fail David, did he? But Goliath, his armour failed him. The Philistine army failed him. All his weapons of war failed him. All his own ability failed him. And you know, so often we may try and put our trust in this or in that, and what happens? It fails. And why? To bring the sinner to the only place they can trust is in this stronghold, the Lord himself. Trusting in the Lord. He says here, doesn't he? He knoweth them that trust in him. Now as you think of your future pathway, you think of the things that exercise you and concern you, the need you have for him to supply your every need, both in soul, in body, and in the pathway. Venture on him, sink or swim, and he'll never fail you, poor soul. Trusting in him. Now, these are the words of the Lord, they're not mine. There's nothing tonight, I preach them to myself. Because, you see, everything's in this word, what you'll need for time and for eternity. As you go through life's journey, oh, to be found trusting in the Lord. And when you come to the swellings of Jordan, and when I do, it'll be well if we're trusting in him. Because he'll never fail his dear children. We fail. Men will fail us. But he will never fail. And we sing in the hymn, don't we? The Christian's hope will never fail. Why? Because it's stayed upon Christ. Amen.